Psalm 16, I'm going to read one verse here. Then I'm going to look over also in Proverbs chapter 13 tonight as well. It is a verse. And then we'll pray and try to preach as the Lord directs our heart. And again, I appreciate you being here on Wednesday night, week after week. I know that you get tired, you work and you labor, and yet you still come on, come to the house of God. And I sure do appreciate that, the depth of heart. I will say this, you'll get a great help for your heart by being in the house of God. Amen. And I appreciate the local church so very much. Psalm 16, and I'll read verse number 6 tonight. Psalm 16, verse 6. The Bible said, the lines are falling to me in pleasant places. Yeah, I have a goodly heritage. Then look at Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13, and we'll read verse 22. Proverbs chapter 13 tonight, and I want to read one more verse, and then we're going to pray and try to preach a little bit here tonight on this thought. Proverbs chapter 13, verse number 22. The Bible said, a good man leaveth inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you tonight one more time to stand and to open the Word of God. Lord, unworthy, undeserving I am, and I confess that. But Lord, thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses from all sin, that makes us righteous. And Lord God, we thank you and we praise you for that. Lord, we ask you now that you'd strengthen my voice tonight and my body. I need you tonight in a special way. But Lord, I pray above everything, open up our hearts. Let the Word of God find its resting place in us. And Lord God, may we be a help. May we exhort the people of God, Lord God, to be faithful. Lord, till we go home to be with you. Lord, we thank you again for this occasion. Save that soul that's lost here tonight. And what you do, we'll praise you and we'll thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen, you can be seated. We find in both of these places, he says back there in Psalm 16, the latter part of verse 6, yeah, I have a goodly heritage. In Proverbs 13, the first part, verse 22, a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. I want to preach tonight just a simple thought, but I believe a good reminder for every one of us that are saved by the grace of God. I want to preach on leaving a goodly heritage. Leaving a goodly heritage. Now, we're here in this life, and I am thankful for life. I'm glad God gave me life, and then he gave me eternal life. Amen. But I want to leave something behind for my family and for another generation. They'd want to know God, and they'd want to serve God. And the way I learned about God, the way you learn about God, was somebody was saved and lived for God in front of you. There's a lot of folk that have impacted my life, and probably the vast majority of those people are already in heaven tonight, and they left me a goodly heritage. They left to me what was right, and I'm thankful for that, but I want to do that for another generation. I believe you that are saved, you've got that same heart desire. We need to leave something. Now, tonight, as we said, camp's going on, and I felt more like them. Most of us I knew would be most adults, just a few of the little children here. But I want to tell us tonight we have a great responsibility in leaving a goodly heritage. It is not just for preachers to leave and for deacons to leave and Sunday school teachers to leave, but every Christian needs to leave behind a goodly heritage tonight. An inheritance is something that is worth passing down to another generation. Now, I understand this. Both of these places in their context are dealing with physical things, and I understand that. But there is also the spiritual that needs to be left behind for another generation. There's five things I'll look at tonight. I'm not going to preach preach long. I just got this on my heart, and I want to help us. Whether we jump hard, don't matter. I'm more interested in us having something that stirs our heart, that we'll live for God till the day we take our last breath or leave out of here in the clouds of glory. Now, I want to say these five things ought to be what we left behind for another generation. These are all spiritual things, but I want us to get them in our heart. First of all, we really need to make sure that we leave behind a testimony of salvation. It is real important. I want everybody to look at me. I have preached enough funerals as a pastor in the 20 plus years that I've pastored, and I preached those where they lived for God, had the testimony, they were saved, and they acted like it all the time. Man, that makes easy preaching at the funeral. But I have preached for those that didn't live for God, but they made a little profession back at Bible school or a service sometime, or a revival meeting. But can I tell you something? Really and truly, that family don't have a lot of hope. They ain't got nothing really to lay a hold of. Now, you say, yeah, they do. No, they don't. They have that nagging thing in the back of their mind. I really hope they got right with God. Don't do that to your family. You get saved and you live like a Christian, that when you die, they'll know where you went to. Amen. They ought not have to scratch their head and hope the preacher will try to preach you into heaven, because the preacher can't preach you into heaven. And this is one preacher that ain't going to do it if you didn't have the fruit of it. Amen. I'm not mean at a funeral, but I ain't going to talk about somebody running the streets of gold when I'm not real sure they're running streets of gold. Amen. Hey, it's important that we're saved and act like we're saved. Amen. You know, when I was growing up, because the crowd I was around, old-fashioned Christians, and so many of my family was saved. I'm blessed with that part. Yeah, my daddy, I don't know much about him, my biological daddy, but everybody else in our family, grandparents and great-grandparents, were saved, and they lived it. I'll be real honest, I used to think everybody was silver-head, white-headed, was saved, because all of the ones I knew were. Amen. Hey, that's a goodly heritage. It really is. I'm thankful that I had family and I went to church with a group of people that were saved and really acted saved. Amen. Oh, friend, we need to leave that testimony behind. I thought about what Paul said to young Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. He said, when I called remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Paul's saying, Timothy, I believe you got it too. Just like your grandma had it, just like your mama had it. Timothy, you're showing fruit of being a child of God. I want people to know I'm saved. Not just because I tell them I'm saved, but I want to see them to see it's real in my life. Amen. Hey, leave them a good, plain testimony of being saved. Can I say this? And I want to encourage you to really do this. Do it in one or two ways, and probably it wouldn't hurt to do both. Number one, you ought to set your family down, your children, and even your grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and tell them when and how you got saved. Tell them you can tell them it was spring, tell them about the revival, tell about the church service. If you remember what they preached, tell them every detail you can remember. Let them know. And then it wouldn't hurt you to write it down. Amen. That way, in case time goes on a long time, you get a preacher on the scene don't know you as well as the past one did, then he'd have it to read. Amen. Let your family know about when you got saved. I've rehearsed it enough in front of my children. They know when and where I got saved at. Why? I want them to know what happened that changed their daddy and made their daddy like he is. Amen. Leave a clear testimony of salvation behind. And then let me say number two, leave a testimony of walking with God. Amen. See, the Bible said in Hebrews 11:5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. What was that testimony? Genesis 5:22, and Enoch walked with God. Verse 24, and Enoch walked with God. Twice in those two verses, it says that Enoch walked with God. The number two in the Bible is the number of witness. He said, be established in the mouth of two witnesses. Well, twice he wanted everybody to know. Now, one time would have been sufficient. We had known that he walked with God, but God really wanted you to know, he really walked with me. It wasn't a put on. He walked with God every day of his life. Hey, I think about Enoch from time to time. Man, every day, in a day, in an hour, sin is rampant, and his great-grandson is coming on. No, that's going to be in a day of great wickedness. And yet, he got up every day and said, I'm going to walk with God, that my family will want to know God, and they'll want to follow God. Amen. Walk with God. Now, the Bible said in Amos, how can two walk together except to be agreed? Now, to say you're walking with God and be walking in a different direction God's going, you ain't walking with God. Amen. So walk with God. That word with's very important. Nowhere in this Bible has it ever said God walked with a man. That's right. Because that word with means somebody's controlling the path and the pace. So it said that Enoch walked with God. He controlled the path. He controlled the pace. Hey, we need to walk with God. Folk are know, hey, whatever they're doing it because God said do it. Amen. Walk with. Can I tell you this? So many in our day are living beneath their birthright as a child of God. They can really walk with God. They can enjoy a closeness with God that is available for every Christian, but so many miss out on it. And they're missing out on it because they do not walk with God. Leave that testimony that they walk with God. I'm trying my best. I pray God help me. Even after I make my statement right here tonight, to this point, I've tried my best to walk with God that my family will know. If God says, all right, here's some new area I want you to venture out in, they can believe me. They can trust that I know God enough that I'm following God, I'm walking with God. I don't want them to ever think, well, what in the world, Daddy's gone crazy again. He just kicking off somewhere else today. You know, I have got family members. I'll use my family so you don't get upset at me because you've got them too, really. But I got family members that, man, they start something today and quit it 2 days from now, and 3 days later they're starting something else. And man, I've got them where they've been every denomination under the sun, and they said, God said do this. Next thing they know, no, God said do that. And you know what? Their families are in confusion. They wonder why their family don't want to go to church and why they don't want to serve God. Well, it's pretty plain to me why. When you don't know God any more than that, they have no confidence in you. I want to walk with God that when I say God spoke to my heart, they say, yes, sir, I believe you. My wife said, yes, honey, I'm glad you know God. We're with you. Whatever God said, we'll do. I want it to always be that way. It has been to this point. I want it to be true till Jesus comes. We need to leave that kind of heritage behind that people will know, hey, they walk with God. It ain't they're just trying out something new. Amen. Hey, leave a testimony, survey. Leave a testimony walking with God. Now they may say this, leave a testimony of also of being a prayer warrior. Being a prayer warrior. They need to know you can pray. That's right. James said this about a man named Elias or Elijah. It said this, that Elias was a man subject to like passion we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. It rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Ladies and gentlemen, Elijah, you study Elijah's life. Elijah was a man of prayer. I got to think about today. Man, it'd do good to preach on those times Elijah prayed. It really would. Man, numerous times in the life of Elijah, he touched heaven when he prayed. Amen. We ought to be known as a prayer warrior. Amen. You know, this may sound trivial, small, but you know, in my life, I have had my children. They've been homeschooled and they've gone, been college, all these different kinds of things. But you know one thing I've always had my kids do to me? That when that's come test time, do you realize they'll come find me or call me on my phone? Daddy, I got to take a test. Would you pray? That's good. Hey, man, it ought to be that way. You say, no. They're asking because they know Daddy prays. Amen. And you know what? They've all heard me pray. They have. Not just blessing the meal and not just tuck them in bed, but they've come up on Daddy at other times of the day where he's alone talking to God, Mama's talking to God. That's what we need to leave behind for them. So many don't have a prayer life because they've never had anybody show them one. Amen. Hey, you know how I learned to pray? There's some family members of mine knew how to pray. And there's some folk at the church that knew how to pray. That come by and didn't ask me if I wanted to go to the prayer room. They come grabbed a hold of me and took me. Amen. That's how it was around our place. They didn't say, "Won't go pray?" No. They say, "Hey, boy, come on." That's how it was. I learned to pray because all them men prayed out loud. Somebody said, "Well, you ain't got to pray out loud. God ain't deaf." No, and he ain't scared either. Amen. Hey, they taught me, they left a legacy. They left a heritage, an inheritance of being able to touch God. There are people I know right now that if I'm pressed down, and by the way, we all get in places that we get pressed down and we feel about like we can't pray for ourselves. It's good to know somebody can pray. Amen. And there's some folk I wouldn't hesitate to pick up a phone and call them tonight and say, "Listen, I'm battling some spiritual warfare. There's some things that are raging in my life and I'm trying to do right and live for God. Would you bathe me in prayer?" Why? Because I know they pray. I still know some granny women that still pray up in the mountains. They leave their house and go up on the side of the mountain and talk to God. Yeah, I still know that kind of crowd. And I don't tell you one of them, matter of fact, got my name wrote down, prays for me every day. When I see her, I say, "You still pray?" She said, "You know I am." Amen. Why? She's a prayer warrior. She talks to God. And you know what I'm going to remember her for? She's a shouting woman too, but I'm going to remember she's a praying woman. Amen. We need to leave that behind for family and friends and church folk. They need to know we can talk to God. Amen. Hey, leave behind them, may I say, fourthly tonight, not only a testimony of salvation, testimony of walking with God, testimony of being a prayer warrior, but number four, having a testimony of being a student of the Word. Hey, we need to be just like this crowd in Acts chapter number 17 and verse number 11, where the Bible said these were more noble than those of Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. Man, they said, "Give it to us. Let us hear it." But they didn't end there. It said, "And search the scriptures daily whether those things were so." Not only were they very attentive to the man of God as he preached, but they went in the book theirself and said, "I don't want to say the preacher told me this how it was. I don't know the Bible said it." Amen. Do you know what I learned through the years right after I started pastoring? I learned a whole lot of stuff I heard some folks say, and I even heard in some gospel songs, wasn't even in the Bible. Amen. Man, now this probably never happened down here, but man, there's some wild statements where I'm from. They are. That every pot will set on its bottom. That ain't in the Bible. And why they would say that, I have no idea. Here's my favorite one I've heard a lot. In the last days, you won't be able to tell the seasons apart. Where'd you get that from? The Bible says, until the Lord comes, there'll be seed time and harvest. Hey, there's a lot of stuff you said that ain't in the Bible. So we need to search the scriptures for ourselves to know what God said about it. Amen. I want to know the truth that God said. And I believe preachers. I'm not sitting there saying, well, I don't know if he's telling me the truth. No, I've been soaking it in. But at the same time, I'm going to go back home. I'm going to chew on it. Amen. And I'm going to keep studying and get more verses to find out more and more about the subject I heard about. Amen. Hey, have a testimony. You're a student of the Bible. You know what? We ought to wear Bibles out, reading them and studying them. They shouldn't be tore up because of neglect. Amen. A lot of folk just get in the car after serving, throw it in the back window, and throw it in the floorboard, get kicked around. That's why their Bible's in bad shape. They ain't reading it. It's just getting kicked around. Amen. That's right. I know I've said this here before. I've said it all over the country, and I'm going to say it again. It's a sad statement on us. We have to get up before church and say, where's my Bible at? We ought to know where our Bible's at. It's where we read it the last time. Amen. Hey, I want them to know I read. Hey, I've got Bibles. I've been saved 37 years, been preaching 32. I've got Bibles I use as a young preacher boy, and I have wrote a note in the front of them. Some of these notes will not make sense. I really did. I can take it back there and show you one. I said, because that was a teenage boy writing in the column of his Bible thought. That's right. But I've got Bibles as I've got older that God's been helping me as a study. I'm working on one right now to leave for one of my kids. My morning devotion Bible, I'm writing notes, I'm marking scripture. Why? I want to know Daddy got in that book every day. Amen. You know why I'm doing that? I've got my grandpa's Bible, my grandma's Bible, my granny's Bible, all back yonder in my office right now. You know they studied those Bibles. I've got them out every now and then flipping through them and reading notes, seeing other references they wrote down, said, go read this. I'm going to tell you something. I wouldn't give you 10 million worlds for them Bibles. Now, I'm glad to send Bibles around the world, but I'm going to buy a new Bible sent around the world. I'm going to keep it them. I ain't being ugly. I'm just telling you that's how I am. That's more worth than gold to me, them Bibles are. And I'm going to leave them for my children. My kids have already begun claiming my Bibles. I done got, Tom Brittany's done laid claim on the Bible my mama led me the Lord with. I've got it back there. Mama said, I'm going to give it to you. I've got it back there. And I get it out and looking through that thing. She said, that's the one I want, Daddy. And then she's already been sitting there. I want that one you used on the road. That's where all them outlines are, really. That's the one that's got the most outlines in it. Another one says, no, I want that. Why? Because they know I read and I study. You need to leave that for your children, your grandchildren. Because I'm going to tell you something, all that money you're going to leave them, they're going to fight over it. Your house going to rot to the ground because they can't decide who gets it. Amen. I just went to the lawyers myself the other day getting a will drawn up. You say, you think you're going to die? I'm not young as I one time was. Man, you live 7 years, I've done crossed the halfway point. Amen. So I just went ahead and divided, said they're going to sell it and they're going to divide it equally. They ain't going to get, nobody going to get nothing except they get it in that will. That's the way I am. But you know what? I ain't going to leave them a lot of money. I'm spending most of it now. Spent half of it on a wedding the other month. But what I really want to leave them is a good heritage of the spiritual things of God. A Bible that they know Daddy carried with him. And Daddy preached at it. And Daddy read it. And Daddy believed it. And Daddy stood on it. Daddy died on it. That's what I want to leave for my children. Not only that, let me say number five and I'm done. We need to leave a testimony of that we worshiped. And even, yes, maybe even be a shouter. Now, you can worship never shouting. You really can. And I believe some of you worship when you come. You don't make a lot of noise, but you worship every time you come. And I like that. I told somebody this past few days ago, one of the other churches I pastor, I had a deacon, was a great man, a big old man. I mean, son, much of a mountain man. And had hands like ham hocks. I mean, much, son, he'd grab you, my hand would disappear. He's a big old man. But he cried a little bit, but I never heard him jump up and holler one time. But I'd get preaching, get wild, and I'd get hopping around on one leg, and them granny women get shouting. And here, and I knowed he'd done got up, got excited, he'd do this. That meant he is having a big time. Amen. That's right. I'll always remember that too. He'll let me know, preacher, I'm in this thing. I like it. Go with it. Amen. Hey, I believe we ought to let them know that we came to church for the very purpose of worshiping and praising our Lord because he's worthy. Amen. Let them know you didn't come here to take up a few inches of a pew. You didn't come here to critique and criticize everything that went on. But when your name is mentioned, they are saying, he loves God. He's going to worship God. He goes to church. Amen. That's a good testimony to leave behind. Amen. So we need to leave a goodly heritage, testimony of salvation, testimony of walking with God, testimony being a prayer warrior, testimony being a student of the word, testimony of worship and shouting. Hey, I'm not ashamed that I'm a shouter. Amen. I prayed to get like this. I'm going to be real honest about it. I ain't always been like this. But I got seen that rest of that crowd doing that. I said, I kind of like it. And I like to get in on it. I ain't lying to you. I'm telling you the honest truth. I'd feel it welling up in me. Me, a young person, 14, 15 years old, trying to serve God. And man, son, they get to sing, go to shouting, and boy, son, the hair about my neck standing up. I mean, it's a cutting cartwheels in my heart. And I said, I'd like to do what they are doing. And I got to praying about it. And one night, God said, okay, I'm going to let you start. And I ain't quit yet. Amen. Hey, let's leave a good heritage behind. If the Lord don't come, I believe he's coming soon, but you know. But if it's 50 more years, I want to leave a goodly heritage behind me, don't you? Father, take the message now. Use it for your honor, for your glory. I've tried my best to exhort your people. Lord, encourage them, and Lord, in leaving a goodly heritage behind. Lord, that folk will know we're real. Lord, that we're not hypocrites, and we're not a bunch of folk that just going through the motions, but Lord, that we're real. Lord, thank you for freedom to preach tonight. Thank you for helping my voice. And Lord, everything you do, we praise you and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Is there anybody tonight lost in the building? Say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not saved. Anybody? Maybe there's a Christian and God spoke to you tonight along the lines I've been preaching. You say, preacher, pray for me. God's been a speaking to me about leaving that kind of heritage. Amen. Amen. That'd be the greatest thing you can leave behind is a good testimony. Let's stand tonight. She plays. You may have a burden on your heart. We've had altar prayer, but altar's open again. I want you to come. And if nobody don't come, we're going to close. And it's all right. I preach what the Lord told us to. And it's been good to be here. Why? Because the book's been opened. That book getting opened means it's been a good service. And I'm thankful for the book. Anybody else? Amen. You need to come. Wait in just a few moments. God touched your heart.